Off the Ball.
In association with Air. Don't miss live and exclusive Premier League action this month on the Air Sport Pack.
This is News Talk.
Welcome back. So, the breaking news in the past 2 hours this evening. Russia has been banned from next year's Winter Olympics in South Korea. They've also been ordered to pay $15 million by the IOC as a punishment for operating a massive state-sponsored doping program across London 2012 and the Winter Games in Sochi 2 years later. Matt Slater, chief sports reporter with the Press Association, is on the line. Evening, Matt.
Good evening.
How busy are you on a scale of 1 to 1 billion?
I'm pretty busy. Okay. I wouldn't try to go as far to 10 billion, but yeah, this is pretty busy.
Okay, well listen, we'll try and work through as much as we can. We really appreciate you coming on. So this is the first time the IOC has ever imposed a blanket ban on a country for doping. The key difference between this ban and what we saw before the Summer Games last year is last year, effectively, the governing bodies of each sport, it was left up to you guys to sort it out.
Exactly. They were sort of thrown a bit of a hospital pass, which they didn't engage with, to be honest. Look, there's various reasons for that. I mean, one, I think if I was going to be really kind to the IOC, I'm not quite sure they deserve this kindness, but I'll endeavour with it for a while. They didn't have much time. If you remember, the full scale, the full horror, the first revelations of quite what Russia were up to was revealed in the New York Times in May 2016. The World Anti-Doping Agency quickly got into gear, having already looked at very specific allegations around track and field, around athletics. They thought, oh God, this is way, way bigger. This is all sports. This is 1,000 athletes, 30 sports. They got up a second commission that was conducted by a Canadian law professor called Richard McLaren. Mm-hmm. Now, he worked very, very fast and landed this massive report at the IOC's on their desk about 2 weeks before the games, absolutely annoying all of them. You know, here they are to sort of put on this massive circus. And he was saying, by the way, you know, this really, really powerful nation, well, they've been cheating. So they didn't really cover themselves with glory. They kind of looked to blame everybody else. You know, what have WADA been doing? Mm. Are you really sure? And they came up with this unbelievable fudge, which was, okay, you sports, 30-odd sports in the games, go off and vet these Russians. If they all look okay, let them in. Now, only one sport kind of really took this seriously, and that was athletics, largely because it had a head start. They'd already had an investigation, and they were in it up to their necks. So the entire sport was you know, in the toilet, to be honest.
Yeah.
So they went with this neutral athlete approach. You had to be completely bona fide. You had to be vetted. You had to have a whole anti-doping record by credible anti-doping agencies. And that resulted in just one neutral Russian athlete in the track and field side of things. Pretty much Russia sent a full-strength team in the other sports. Right. And off the top of my head, I think he came about fourth in the medal table. I had about 250 athletes there. So look, that was Rio. Here we are, whatever it is. I don't know, 18 months on. Mm-hmm. And the IOC have had a chance to have a rethink. They set up two commissions to have a look at that evidence.
Yeah.
Working for about 17 months, and today we've got we see the
result.
Fruit of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, okay. So it was even the former president of Switzerland, Samuel Schmid, was one of the main guys working on the latest report. So let's dive in then and maybe that key point, which will decide how we all feel about this thing come 66 days time and the opening ceremony. There is no Russian Federation administrators allowed. There will be no Russian anthem. There will be no Russian uniform. There will be no Russian medals on the record books. There will be Russian athletes competing under a neutral flag, and they will have to prove their, cooperation with anti-doping and that they are clean as a whistle. So how's this going to work? How are they going to do that? Do we have any idea how many Russian athletes we're likely to see competing under a neutral flag come next year?
I think we're getting a tiny bit ahead of ourselves here because we're really waiting to see how this is going to go down in Russia.
I dare say.
Well, really badly, I think I'd go as far to say. In recent weeks, as it's looked more and more likely that this would happen, that we were, you know, the dial had been shifted, that the weight of evidence, and it's been leaking out, that look, this wasn't just a few, this isn't just a couple of whistleblowers who deranged lunatics, as they've been branded in Russia, who've gone off to build new lives for themselves in US and have, basically sung like canaries because that's what the Americans in the West wanted to hear. No, we've got forensic evidence, we've got electronic records, we've got other witness testimony. This has built up. And on top of that, there's been this drip of the IOC finally doing some decent anti-doping work and finding lots and lots of Russian cheats from both Beijing, London, and, of course, Sochi. So this picture has got really bleak for Russia. So in recent weeks, there have been big suggestions. And I was in Moscow last week for the World Cup draw, and there was a rumor swirling around that they could even preemptively boycott. They could just say, look, let's just save some face here. Let's just say we're not going to Pyeongchang. Mm. Now, about a day or so ago, Vladimir Putin's spokesman was quoted by the Russian news agency TASS as saying, no, look, we're not going to do that. We don't want to boycott. That didn't work. We've done all that in the 80s. And look, that's not really going to happen. I've since heard today that he may have been misquoted. So that's back on the table. It seems like they really wanted to hear what the IOC were going to say. They have referred to this neutral idea as humiliating because it is, as you mentioned, no Russian uniforms, no anthems. They will go in under the Olympic flag in all these ceremonies. They will wear a very plain kit. The acronym will be OAR, Olympic Athlete from Russia. There won't be a place on the medal table for them. This is going to be very, very humiliating. Already, the Russian broadcaster said, we're not showing the games. If there's not a recognizably Russian scene there, we're not even going to put this stuff on. Mm-hmm. So who knows? We've already, seen various athletes banned for life because of their cheating in Sochi. Yeah. It's really, really hard. They sent about 200 to Sochi. That's fine because that was local. They normally send about 170, 180 athletes to a Winter Games.
Yeah.
It's going to be anywhere between that and zero.
Right, okay, we don't quite know yet. I mean, state television, that's interesting. That might be as indicative of Vladimir Putin's intentions as anything. I was just mentioning it, just by coincidence, there was a brilliant documentary on Putin on Irish television last night, and clearly one of the first things he did when he came to power was take control of broadcast media, which is how Russians consume 90% of their news. Incidentally, one of the reasons he took control was because there was a Russian version of Spitting Image on. And literally, it was the same type of puppets. And Putin hated the Putin character in it with a passion and very quickly took control of TV. But if they're saying they're going to boycott this effectively, maybe that's indicative of where Putin and Russia are. Thomas Bach and his relationship with Vladimir Putin was seen in advance as one of the potential pitfalls here. How close are they?
But this is again,
Thomas Bach, by the way, sorry, is the president of the Olympic Committee.
He is former Olympic fencer, a German lawyer, a relatively successful businessman. He's been in charge of the Games, the Olympics, for a couple of years now. Look, this could be one of those Ehrman myths. It has been repeated many, many times that they are close. They certainly looked close at Sochi. It was a very successful Winter Games at the time. Russia threw millions at it and, certainly put on a good show, and I think Bach enjoyed that. The Rio non-decision, this sort of dropping of the ball there, which provokes massive scorn from national anti-doping agencies, people like Travis Tygart in the US, who's the USADA boss, athletes commissions. And even at home in Germany, he's been roundly criticized for being way too soft to Russia. And the perception has been that he's very close. I honestly couldn't really tell you that I know that for a fact, and I don't think many people really do. What we do know, what we absolutely do know, is that for a long time, Bach's mantra was no collective punishment. He talks about it being a nuclear option. He talks about there being too much collateral damage. He talks about being contrary to Olympic values. He was almost bending over backwards to take this very lawyerly approach. Let's, have due process. Let's give the Russians a chance. And I think the whole time, I think this is the key thing, in his ear, particularly on the winter sports side, he had all the international federations pointing out, one, just how many things Russia hosts. We haven't mentioned it yet. Of course, they're hosting the World Cup next summer. Mm-hmm. They host an enormous amount of sport. You name it. You go through the calendar. You look at the biathlon, the cross-country skiing, all that stuff. They are hosting that stuff all the time. There are Russian sponsors involved. We talked about TV. Russian TV brings a lot to the party. So money. Russia's prestige, Russia's you know, commitment to the Olympic movement. They sit on loads of panels. They sit on loads of, you know, they really buy into Olympic sport. So I think BAC has been very, very wary of that.
Yeah. So that brings us on to another aspect of this. You mentioned the World Cup. Vitaly Mutko was the then Minister of Sport around the time of Sochi and London Games. He's now Russian Deputy Prime Minister. He's also the head of the organising committee for the 2018 World Cup. There's a beautiful picture of him and Gianni Infantino with their thumbs up on Friday, all smiles. So Mutko's been banned for life. I mean, he was there in an hour-long press conference on Friday for FIFA and the World Cup, rejecting any suggestions there had been systematic doping in Russia. Like, I think even Infantino and FIFA are thinking, like, we thought we were nuts. You guys are on a different planet here. So Mutko's banned for life. FIFA have released a short statement saying the events of today change nothing, preparations go ahead. Are there any likely implications for the World Cup?
Who knows? I was in that press conference. It was stunning. Right. He almost managed to upstage his own draw. I remember he started one answer saying, I don't really want to talk much about this because we're here to talk about football. Mm-hmm. He was still going 10 minutes later. I think he did three more of those. And then he jumped off the stage to harangue a British journalist who works for an American news organization. So, look, at the time, I thought this was purely for the domestic consumption. Here was this sort of Russian bear standing up to Western liars. Well, look, today has been a disaster for him. Absolute disaster. I've also seen the chief whistleblower, Grigory Rodchenkov, who is the former director of the Moscow Laboratory, the man that really kind of opened this can of worms.
A lot of listeners will know him as the star of Icarus on Netflix.
Yes, absolutely. And he has cooperated with the IOC, and I've read his 52-page affidavit, and Mutko is all over it.
Right.
He is. If you want to talk about state-sponsored doping, we are talking about the Ministry of Sport. Who was the Minister of Sport? Vitaly Mutko. He is all over the Sochi plan. He is all over the swapping urine. He's all over it. He is checking in. He is obviously, there's a degree of plausible deniability, but that degree is it's unbelievably thin. He is in an awful lot of trouble. Now, as you mentioned, he sat next to Gianni Infantino on Friday. Infantino tried to chuckle and smile and wave this off. You know, what is it? It's not going to change a thing. I think Infantino's right. FIFA does not want to change this thing because Mutko is unbelievably important to this World Cup project. He's also the president of the Russian Football Union. Until very recently, he sat on FIFA's Exco. In fact, a disciplinary and ethics commission at FIFA pointed out that really he shouldn't be there. Infantino removed that guy, removed the guy after sort of almost having the pertinence to say, don't we take governmental interference serious in football? Should a deputy prime minister be on our exco? So look, Mutko and FIFA are entwined at the moment. So look, the ball is now very much in FIFA's court. They have a man who has just, and don't forget, football's an Olympic sport. They have a man who's just been banned for life for his part in a doping conspiracy.
Matt, I mean, you mentioned Infantino was sort of chuckling through the press event last week, but was there any sense of discomfort from the FIFA side at all, be it through Infantino or any other officials? Or, I mean, they are used to riding out storms, I guess, but was there any sense of discomfort in any way from the FIFA side around that event last week?
Well, Infantino looked very uncomfortable. You know, he's famous for speaking over, I don't know, seven or eight languages. His body language was, you know, coming through loud and clear. You know, he was shuffling in his seat. He was desperate to try and change the subject. Look, I've seen the same statement as you. I put it to them this morning that this evening was going to be really bad for them. They're repeating this mantra that there is this process that they are cooperating with WADA, they're cooperating with the Olympics. I know for a fact that their cooperation is minimal. Right. I know for a fact that they have never, ever phoned Rodchenkov's lawyer. They've never tried to examine what Rodchenkov has said about doping within Russian football. Therefore, their heads are buried in the sand. They are determined to get this World Cup sorted, to deliver it. Mm-hmm. And then, who knows, then we may get some sanctions for Mutko. At the moment, Mutko is the man who is running that World Cup, and they will they're not going to interfere. They're not going to get involved.
Our favourite Mutko story came from the Winter Games in Vancouver in 2010. He was staying at the Fairmont Hotel in Vancouver, which cost $1,500 a night, and he stayed there for 20 nights. But it turned out he had also claimed for 97 vouchers for breakfast over the course of those 20 days. So five breakfasts a day. So got another €5,000 for that one. It's tough work. I guess you got to eat. It's the most important meal of the day, as you know, Matt.
He's a remarkable man. And look, I remember that story because his reaction was so telling, because he does this all the time. His ability to do whataboutery is unprecedented. It's Olympic quality. I think his sort of response was, look, hold on a minute. Why is no one asking about what the French guy was claiming for hotels?
Yeah.
And look, what we got on Friday in Moscow at this draw was he threw shade everywhere. NBA, NHL, Norwegian biathletes, British football players, the New York Times,
same old routine.
I mean, it was remarkable.
Yeah. So, and incidentally, our producer JP points out that if he was having a full Irish breakfast, that's 7,000 calories a day, which is just not healthy.
It's not that big.
No. So, I mean, look, it's going to be really interesting to see how many Russian athletes compete, or if there is a boycott for sure. And then, of course, you know, and a few people have texted in to make the point as well, which is, you know, okay, so Russia are the scapegoat here a little bit. And, you know, we can all dream that the games are clean and the IOC and everything's kind of working well outside of Russia. But, that, you know, patently that's not true either. Your overwhelming sense from how the IOC handle things and just what we know generally is this is, if not quite tip of the iceberg, it's a good chunk of the iceberg, but there's just so much more going on. It's amazing really how the Olympic movement is just not wrapped up and tossed away with, because you can't think of a time where credibility has been just so low right across the board.
It's a very bleak time. The last few years have been a difficult time for organised big sport. Pretty much, you know, my sort of working life has been corruption.
Yeah.
You know, it's been mafiosa stuff. Look, Rodchenkov in his affidavit, you know, he concludes by saying he still firmly believes that Russia is not the only country running a state-sponsored doping program.
Yeah.
You know, we would be foolish. We would be foolish to think that Russia is the only one. And I tell you one thing that's guaranteed. I'm not sure about the boycott. We'll see. But I would expect Russia's hacking operation, which, don't forget, has already produced some pretty remarkable results for some pretty high-profile British athletes over the last year or so. I would imagine those hackers will be busy now trying to discredit everybody.
Oh, that's the thing. We now have, and if we'll pick up our Sunday Times for the next 5-6 months, and there'll be stories about athletes the Russians have got hold of and leaked to the media. That's kind of the next part of this game.
Yeah.
I think it's
guaranteed.
Matt, brilliant as always. Thanks so much.
No problem.
Cheers.
Happy to help.
Yeah, thanks again. Matt Slater there, Chief Sports Reporter with the Press Association.
Off the Ball on News Talk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.